Hey, party people. All right, we getting caught up. Today is Saturday, August the 21st, and it is 9:46 p.m. my time, which means it's about 2:46 p.m. your time. I mean, 2 a.m. I don't know what time it is where y'all at. Anyway, what's happening? Today's podcast is going to be really short because it's all about my meeting with Natasha, who is also a Nubian woman from London who is on my side of the Nile River. And we had an early dinner today. We met at the Mall of Egypt, and you know, I got to see the woman who's been giving me all this wonderful information and advice and words of wisdom. And today, she came at me straight, no chaser. So I slept most of the day today, coming off the high of going to the pyramids after, you know, having the bug bites on my face. So I got up at 5:55, did my journaling, and got right back in the bed and went to sleep. So it felt good to just be well rested, and I know y'all can hear it in my voice even. And I'm finna get ready to go to bed now because I gotta go to work tomorrow. Can you believe that? I'll be teaching on Sundays. That's crazy, right? So today I walked to the mall by myself. I needed to clear my head. And Shari was gonna go, but she had arranged for another rendezvous somewhere else. And I think that she had gotten the call that she needed. So I ended up walking by myself. Natasha and I was meeting at 4, so I walked at 3 o'clock. So it was really hot, but I know y'all are like, this nigga is crazy, but I really, really, really am drawn to that kind of activity. You know, all the ass whoopings I ever got in my life was for wandering off. So walking by myself in this kind of deserty, because the walk to the mall, you're flanked on one side by the freeway with no lines, right? Where people are just crossing the freeway, people selling fruit, buses are parked on the side of the freeway. And then on the other side, it's nothing but sand. There's condos in the distance, but it's literally like hills of sand, thick sand. And it's dirty sand because people dump their trash over there. So it's all of these different little artifacts and stuff in the dirt. You know, you're walking over empty containers, shoes, random ass papers. So it's a gnarly walk. It's a really, really gnarly walk. But I did it today, and a part of me did it because I really wanted to see what my internal system does when I'm out by myself. And I'm going to tell y'all, all my red flags were on. Like, my sense of walking by myself was heightened. I did at one point feel like, yeah, you can get snatched right now, but you can't. Because I was placing myself in a way to where I could see people coming left to right. And I'm always ready to run. I ain't going to get that far, but I'm always ready to run. So I just wanted to feel myself feel. You know, because when you're with other people, you know, the red flags are going up, but they don't go all the way up because you got other people with you. So, yeah, I did that and saw a whole dead ass horse in the sand. Now, we were walking 2 days ago, me and Shari and Jinx, and we smelled it, but it was a light smell. It was like something's dead around here, and I kept thinking it was a dog. But because of where we're walking, the smell, like, hits you. Dude, today the smell was, like, first of all, unbearable. And when I looked over, I was like, is that a whole horse? And I was like, yeah, that's a whole horse. And I knew somebody had took the horse over there and probably shot and killed it because it had been covered up. And I think what had happened was over the last couple of days, the wind had blown the cover up so you can see the back, the hindquarters of the horse. And it is just disturbing. But I didn't process it that way. I looked at the horse and I said, tell yourself the truth, homegirl. This is the nature of the place you are in. And every place has it. Right? In places like Texas, you might see somebody hanging from a tree. in 2021, because that is the nature of the place. That's the nature of the land. That's the nature of the people. It just happens, and nobody seems to be able to be accountable for it. Nobody wants to be accountable, but you know somebody did it, right? So I just had to process it out, you know, out that way. Otherwise, it would have put me in a place that wouldn't have been good for my spirit or my soul, right? So sometimes you just have to accept it. People do fucked up things, and you got to keep it moving. You can't get caught up in the fucked up thing that they did or that they do. So I'm walking to the mall, and of course, people are honking. They honk all day. Like, they'll honk. I mean, I know they're not just honking at me because I'm a woman, but they're honking at me because everybody's trying to get you in their cars so that you can pay them money to take you somewhere. But you just ignore it. You just walk, and you just walk and keep your head straight and make sure ain't nobody trying to pull up on you. And that's just what I did today. So I get to the mall a little bit early, and I try to wait for Natasha at a place where I was sitting, which was in front of the Ski Egypt. Now, I told y'all this mall is huge. They have a whole place, like a whole setup in this mall where you can learn how to ski. And I'm not talking about simulated skiing. I'm talking about actual enclosed glass area where it's fucking snow and people have on coats and skis and they're skiing down hills and shit. I'm gonna take a picture of it. I tried to in the first half, but I don't think y'all know what y'all are looking at. the first set of pictures when I went to the mall. It's a glassed in area. But today I saw like people with Team USA coats on, and I didn't take pictures because I was like, am I looking at Team USA coats in the Ski Egypt? Like, what is going on right now? This place, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, so they wouldn't let me loiter. Basically, they was like, no, you need to be moving around, miss. So I started walking around waiting on Natasha. Well, she finally came, and I instantly started learning things from Natasha. Now, she's a black girl from London, and she don't play. Natasha was like, I'm on it. We hugged. It was great. We figured out what we're gonna eat. So we go. I was like, she's like, do you want sushi? I was like, yeah, let's do some sushi. We go to the sushi place, and I asked her, is it expensive? And she said, well, let's look at the menu. So we get up there, and she's like, can I see the menu? And the young man says to her, we have put our menus away. You have to QR code. We have a QR code, you know, for the menu. And Natasha says, she hasn't taken out her phone. Now, I'm holding my phone in my hand. She says, my phone doesn't do a QR code. I need to see a menu. The guy says again, well, ma'am, since COVID, we've had to put the menus away. We have a QR code. You can picture. And she says to him, well, can you QR code it so that I can see it? And he says, no. And I'm just kind of, I'm literally, it's like I've been thrown into a quick moment, but I'm following Natasha. Like, I trust her. She's been giving me the best advice. She's been in tune with what I needed. And when she can't help me, she'll say, I can't help you. And that's all I've ever asked for since I got here. So I'm riding with Natasha. So we're going back and forth on this QR code. Now, yes, in my mind, I'm like, well, why don't I just use my phone, the QR code? But something, I'm telling y'all, something is like, just watch. So then Natasha looks at me and says, does your QR code work? Now, mind you, she got this whole London accent. So I'm trying to get out of using these accents because the actor in me wants to, but I shouldn't. So she's like, does your QR code work? Now, mind you, she's been telling them her QR code don't work. So I'm like, no, mine don't work either. So the guy is just looking at us. So she said, I just said, well, let's just eat somewhere else. Because now I'm like, I don't know what's really happening right now, but I'm ready to go. So Natasha and I walk off. And lo and behold, the way that we walk out of the restaurant, we walk past the podium where normally people stand, you know, people take your reservations or whatever. They take you to your seats. And there's two tablets, electronic tablets, sitting right there on the podium. And guess what's on them? The menu. So lesson one learned, Natasha turns to me and says, do not let these people acclimate you to how they want you
to act in their places when they will not give you what you're asking for. They're not nice. They're not kind. They're rude, and they don't realize they're rude. You have to kind of bring that to their attention. Duly noted, right? So now I'm impressed because Natasha is exerting herself in a way that's like, she just don't take no mess. And I get it because she's been here a year. She's already completed 1 year and she's moving into her second. She did a 2-year contract. I just have a 1-year contract. So I'm listening to her tell me how to navigate this based on her experiences. And I'm very acutely aware of that. So we go to the next restaurant. We need to see a menu. And the guy takes out a menu and it's all in Arabic. And Natasha says, I can't read that. And then this other guy comes up and he begins telling us what's on the menu. This is fried chicken. This is a burger. And he's telling us everything is on skewers. And we don't really understand that. He brings the machine over and shows us because she was trying to get a cheeseburger. But what we realized when he showed us, well, what happened was he showed us the machine. We still didn't really know, but we're sitting now, like we're seated. And, you know, I'm like, I just want the chicken strips. Because I'm letting Natasha lead. Like, I'm letting her lead. I'm following. I'm getting it. Because she's assertive and she knows what she wants. And she is very much telling me, you got to make them behave. You got to make them behave. Now, this is not for everybody. Once again, yesterday I had two of the nicest Egyptian men on the planet taking me on these tours. But they are one in a million, y'all. I mean, two in a million. I'm telling y'all, these other folk, once they realize you're a foreigner or whatever it is they realize about you, especially if you don't know the language, it's like a two-headed monster. You just got to deal with a lot of bullshit. So he's trying to explain to her, you know, what we're trying to order. Long story short, we eventually order fried dark meat chicken with fries and sauces. So it's like 6 different sauces. You get some, I guess that's pita bread. I'm not really sure. You get chicken and you get fries. And they do it the way they do it in Texas if you're getting a crawfish boil, where butcher paper on the table and they bring you a platter of fries and they pour the fries out. And the beautiful part is that the guy asked, was it okay? He was like, we normally put the fries out on the table. You know, we pour them out on the table. And with the chicken, is that okay? So I knew we were in a good place where people were really trying to work with us, and they really were. Now, the dude told us that the plate was going to be $60, and it ended up being $320, which, once again, set Natasha off. Like, Natasha has, I think she's kind of have, she has PTSD from being in Giza. I really do. She doesn't go out anymore. She pretty much orders everything online. She's very, very protective of her space. So much so that when we were meeting, she just sent me a picture of what she was wearing, where I sent her a picture of my whole ass face and what I was wearing and everything. So I get it. I understand it. I'm not mad at it. So we eat, and it's a different meal. I have to explain to her that how they served us was normal. You know, I had experienced something like that before in Texas with seafood. So she was like, that's new, that's different. I was like, yeah, they're not disrespecting us. And I started getting the skinny on living in Egypt. So one of the things that Natasha says to me is, do not be surprised if you get into an Uber and they ask you, how much do you charge for sex? Natasha said to me, do not be surprised if you get in an Uber and they ask you if they can take you to a hotel. Natasha says to me, do not be surprised if you get into an Uber and they ask you to marry them. Now, up until today, I haven't had any kind of crazy Uber experiences, and it really made me not want to get into another Uber because I can't laugh anything like that off at this point. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't funny, and I don't see me staying in an Uber where I get in and something like that happens. So yeah, she also just kind of, you know, reiterated to me that you got to kind of make these people respect you. Now, here are the differences between me and Natasha. Natasha is more of a woman's woman. I'm a tomboy. I admit that to my grave. I am a tomboy. I'm a tree climbing, ass kicking, fighting, like all of that. Like, I'm an explorer, you know? So, for instance, I had on sweatpants and a baseball t-shirt. So, like, with the quarter length sleeves, socks and my tennis shoes. And I had my fanny pack on. Natasha had on full makeup. Her hair was pulled back, but it was, you know, it was done up. And she had on like a drapey dress, with a shawl, like a shawl thingy on. So we are dynamic, and she's busty, like she got titties and she got meat on her bones, you know what I mean? Like, she's a woman's woman and she knows it, and it's a good thing to see. It's attractive, it's a bona fide. So I can understand her dilemma being in Egypt. I don't think if you know, I wear baggy clothes and all of that. Now, if I don't wear the baggy clothes, the body, because it's a woman's body, and because it's, you know, whatever it is, I can get attention. But I don't go looking for attention. I'm not interested in attention. And not to say that I have to dress a certain way to get attention, but men haven't changed. And because I know that, I will make concessions for not bringing attention to myself. And it's just not something I've been in my life. I'm a tomboy. So there's a certain part of me that's just kind of like, I don't want to put on no makeup. I don't want to put on no makeup. So I could see her dilemma. So I had to also realize that her experiences from being over here a year have dictated her to be who she is. So Natasha is the kind of person that she was basically saying, I've learned the basics. I've learned just enough to communicate where I need to go, what I need, that kind of thing. And then the rest is up to them to serve her. And I get that. Where I am is, I want to learn as much of the language as I can, because what I'm not going to do is 2 years. I want to learn to be able to hear somebody talking about their grandmama dying and know what they're saying. So I am interested in acclimating myself a little bit more. Plus, I've been told that when Egyptians see you're trying to learn their language, they warm up to you. Do I want them to warm up to me? Not at this point. I just want to learn the language. I want to be able to say some things and move about this space with a consciousness that I can be bilingual, that I can learn different languages, and that I can maneuver my way in this world and set myself up to where when I'm approached with a different language, I kind of am in the habit of learning it, right? So I had to keep that in mind, but my talk with Natasha was the best. She told me to if I have a big bottle of water, she said, when you finish that big bottle of water, go fill it up with tap water, maybe get you 2 or 3, and just put a label on them that says emergency water, because the tendency for blackouts and she said sometimes they'll just turn the water off for what to her is no reason. Now, because Egypt is a patriarchal, government-driven society, I can see that happening. I can absolutely see the government just being like, just turn the water off. We're tired of dealing with water problems. It's that kind of place. I'm not kidding, y'all. Like, I can literally see that happening. So that was good advice, and I'm on it. She also told me to get a water filter because the water here is heavily chlorinated. And you can smell it. Like, you can smell it, but it also feels really clean. So I told her I'm going to wait and see what my skin does, because she says it dries her skin out. But she's from London. I don't know what's going on in London, but I'm not having that experience yet. Even when I don't immediately put on lotion, I don't get as ashy as I do in Texas. So that to me that to me is differential. So I'm gonna ride that one. And I'm also, you know, I told you I'm not trying to keep spending money in places where people, I just don't want to keep spending my money here. What else did Natasha tell me? She, like I said, she's from London, by way of Birmingham. I'm still learning my European geography to an extent. So she kind of explained to me how Europe is broken down versus how Great Britain is broken down, but it's all the same. It's like the same, but different. She was like, Great Britain is Europe. So I was like, okay, blank stare. So we talked about that. She was like, I find it amazing that most people from America don't have geographical information about Great Britain, Europe, whatever. I was like, yeah, you're right, because historically our white ancestors fled the persecution of Great Britain. They were given the option to come to America and kill everybody over there and make it their own as long as they paid their taxes to Great Britain. So it's a whole level to the game of our knowledge as Americans, specifically as Black Americans. It's a lot we don't know, which is why we don't get out, we don't travel, we have to be in the military, or we have to marry into the military in order to really see the world. And we need to expand ourselves in a different way. But there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of comfort in our colonialism with being Americans, because we really do. We believe we have it good, but it's all an illusion. I'm here to tell you, after seeing that dead horse today, I'm like, everything is an illusion. It's all elusive. So we also talked about, she said there was about 5 or 6 other Black American women over here on this side of the Nile. But she said they're not very friendly to her. They're kind of, you know, standoffish. And I said, well, that's probably for 2 reasons, Natasha. Number one, you're a lot to take in for a Black American woman, because you have a sense of pride in yourself that I don't think the average Black American woman could handle. Especially being from London. You got the accent working, you're beautiful, and you're super, super self-confident based on your experiences here. You know exactly what you want. And that's a lot to swallow for anybody, especially for Black American women who may or may not be well-traveled, for Black American women who may or may not have a grip on the self-love element of it all, because that's a thing. Black women are still evolving in how we love ourselves in America. And I said the other reason, you know, they could be like that is simply just like I said, the comfort in colonialism. You know, we are able to come over here, and because we don't see white people in the way that we see white people, we kind of become that. So we begin to encroach ourselves in a way that dictates that we're American Black women. But it's founded, it has a tendency to be founded in the whiteness of being Black Americans. So we can come over here and pretend in a way that really translate as white. Now, I don't know if I'm making sense or not, and I don't really care if y'all agree or not. I'm telling y'all, that's what that is. So she was like, I get it, or whatever. So we ended up just kind of shooting the shit and just having a good conversation. Her just continuously kind of preparing me for what to expect as a teacher. She said the kids are awful. And Jinx said that. And I was refusing to believe Jinx, but I'm going to tell you why. Because Jinx, you know, like I told y'all, he's not crazy about being a teacher anyway. And one of the things about being a teacher is you got to want to be a teacher. You got to want to be a teacher. Otherwise, none of it is going to fit you. None of it is going to suit you. You're going to be disturbed by a lot of things. But, you know, hearing Natasha talk, and Natasha wants to be a teacher. She's interested in impacting kids. So her's telling me, yeah, these kids are pretty rotten. They're rich kids, and they will test you, but her response to it was just what I was thinking I was going to do, which is let the kids say what they want, ask them are they done, and get back to the lesson. I'm telling y'all, Lancaster ISD has prepared me. has super, super prepared me. And I am in the mode of learning the rules so that I can break them. Whereas traditionally, I would just be breaking rules that I didn't even understand or know or accept. So that was that. What else? We weren't together long. We were literally, it was probably right at an hour and maybe 20 minutes between eating. And then I had to go buy a dirty clothes hamper. She walked with me to do that. And then I walked with her to go get some shampoo. And then we separated. We parted ways. I thanked her. And, the other thing she told me was, which was weird. She said, if you find yourself in a threatening position, scream. And scream loud, because your American accent is what will save you. Natasha also told me, do not tell anybody that I am from sub-Saharan Africa. Don't tell them I'm from Ghana. Don't tell them I'm from Sudan. Don't tell them I'm from any sub-Saharan country, because once they learn that, they really treat you like shit. And I told y'all that. Remember I told y'all I saw the little black man and he was like rolling a cart? I saw another one today. He was the janitor. So, and he wouldn't even look at me. I was trying to look at him through my little mask and wink at him and smile or something. And he's already been hurt enough. I could see the trauma. So he's not trying to stare or look at anybody. And maybe they're telling him that in order for him to keep his job. But the people who are cleaning that place up, the people who are sweeping those floors, the people who are walking around with the brooms, they black. It's like an intentional blackness, an intentional darkness that is serving these people. And you can see it. And that pisses me off. It really pisses me off, because I'm so over how we adopt ourselves into this whiteness and then treat our very own like shit. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to take on whiteness instead of really taking down whiteness, right? And I'm not talking about war and all of that. I'm saying divorcing ourselves from our colonized ways is very hard. It's very difficult, but it's not impossible. Anyway, on to the rest of the day with Natasha. I have a new friend. I have an ally. I have to be careful because Natasha, like I said, her experiences have put her in a place where she's like, I just stay safe. I stay in my little safe place, and this is what I do. I don't go far. I don't do dust. She was surprised that I had a roommate. She was like, I can't believe you have a roommate. I was like, yeah, that was in the paperwork. She was like, no. That's her whole thing. She was like shaking her head like, no. And I knew what she was saying. She was like, not me, not the kid. I ain't finna share no space with nobody at this grown point in my life. And I understood that. But at the same time, I was like, well, these are different experiences that we're having. And I respectfully respect it all. And that was it. That was Natasha's spill for me. And I really wholeheartedly appreciate the advice and everything that she said, everything that she gave. And she said, if I need anything, just let her know, call her. And I'm going to do that. So that was pretty much that. And we're caught up. I want to thank y'all for that. I'm still going to get around to telling y'all how the spiritual journey of how I got here is coming. I haven't forgotten. But I'm also trying to just kind of give y'all a daily account of what I'm experiencing here. So just, you know, be patient with a sister. What am I about to do now? I am about to read this teacher's manual and go to bed. It's my bedtime. And I slept really good today. I was able to stay in bed till about 2:30. I got up and journaled, and then I got back in the bed, and I actually dreamed, and it felt good. And it felt good to just be laying in the bed telling myself not to get up. Like, I don't know why I have to tell myself not to get up. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what my bones want to do, but I was tired, and I knew I had, you know, been rocking and rolling since the day before at the pyramids, and that morning I had been up since 3. So I was giving myself permission, but I had to kind of force that permission on myself. So I want to get out of that as well. COVID is coming, the second round is coming. I mean, the fourth wave is about to hit us all. The students have not returned yet. I found out that Ramadan is the best time to go to the mall because all the Egyptians are in prayer, and it's a really good time to go and just kind of have the mall to yourself. So that'll probably be the next time I go to the mall, because every time I go there, y'all, I'm telling you, it's just, I hate who I have to become to be around a lot of other human beings who don't give a fuck about me. That's a strange feeling. That is a strange, you know, red pill moment for me. I don't like walking places where I can't look people in the face. I don't like walking places where, you know, I have to kind of maneuver around people. And I could bump into them. I could be an asshole, but that's a choice. And I choose not to be. I really choose not to be. That's not how I want to spend my energy. So I know that there are going to be some good days and there are going to be bad days. And I'm going to share the bad days with y'all. So get ready. I'm going to come in and I'm like, today was not a good day. This is what happened. Because I'm living here and I really want to give you as much of that experience as possible. So, yeah, I know, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm ready to, you know, get to day 180. I'm ready to get to day 362. You know, whatever it is this year is going to hold for me, I'm ready to get there. And like I said, my only focus is to be successful in being able to live here and learn language and give kids a perspective that they probably won't ever get from a black person, somebody who they look down upon. I'm prepared for that. You look down on me if you want to, get throat chopped. I'm just kidding. And not to beat a dead horse, but y'all, please live your life. Live your life. If you want to do something, I can't say it enough. If you want to do something, just go do it. I don't care what's happening, what is happening that you think is happening, but it's all an illusion. And I'm not saying it's not real. What I'm saying is the devil is busy. What I'm saying is you're conditioned to be a certain way. And if you don't start chiseling away at it, that's going to be it for you. You know, they say by the time a man is 35 years old, you can't change him. Now, I don't know what that age is for women, but get yourself together and do something different. Do something different. Figure it out. It's only up to you. You can't keep calling people and having conversations about what you want to do. You can't keep living vicariously through other people. You can't. Because there's a toxicity involved in that. Because you're not evolving. You're safely living through somebody else. So it's curtailing your evolution as a human being. And that is not why you were brought here. You were not brought here to be stifled. You were not brought here to sit still. You were not brought here to be invisible. You were brought here to evolve your legacy. You were brought here to evolve the DNA in your bones. It's bigger than just the physical. And I get it. It's people here looking for husbands right now. And I don't understand it. Even though the men are attractive, they're short and they're ridiculous. It's a lot of short men here. And there's no way I can even fit myself to think that I'm in such a pickle that I would marry my, I would yoke myself to a man who A, believes I am to be subservient, and B, cannot include my intellect, my skill set, and my intelligence in our daily lives as a couple. I can't imagine. So I implore you to encroach upon your own fears and do something different. Because when you evolve, we all evolve. And our children evolve. We got to get our children into speaking different languages. And we should not wait on a school system. We should not wait on some kind of powerful hand to hand that to us. We got to get out of that too, waiting for handouts. Y'all, we living in a new earth. It's a new paradigm. Everything has shifted. Everything has shifted. And right now, if you're not doing what you want to do, you're getting left behind. Okay? And this is with love that I say this. So this is the end of this podcast. I've met Natasha. Y'all have met Natasha. You will hear and see from her again. Hear and see from her again. See from her again. That wasn't right. You will hear me report on her again. She was a joy. She was a pleasure. And I really enjoyed talking with her today. All right. Be good, be good, be good, be God. Y'all take it easy.